Today's topic is the art of being a good friend. Lots of people can claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? Is this a question you have asked yourself? Have you? Yeah. Now, this comes from a book called Proverbs, which is in the Bible, and it was written in 700 BC. So what you can see is that more than 2,000 years ago, the issue is the same. Where can I find a good friend? 2,000 plus years on, we ask the same question. Where can I find a good friend? We live in a very mobile society. Would you agree? Okay, everything is constantly changing. The place where you were born is not necessarily the place you will continue to live, have your education, work, get married. We keep moving. And so things are constantly changing. We live and engage with people from different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different family upbringing, different walks of life. And we have to learn to navigate this fluidity in society. The way we navigate this is we have to have a parameter or a grid or a point of reference that is constant from which we can view things, from which we can view life. And that's what we are going to look at today. So, the question is, how do I be a good friend? I think, Jess, if you can take it. To be a good friend, we need to know how to be a good friend. Would you agree? Question I'd like to ask ourselves is, how do we describe ourselves? How do you describe yourself as a person? Do you describe yourself by what you do or by who you are? There's a difference. Do you describe yourself by what you do or who you are? So a starting point of friendship is that there is some amount of self-awareness. We need to know who am I? I should be able to answer that question. Because when I can answer that question, and if what I do is not who I am, then it doesn't shake the core inside of me. But if I describe myself by what I do, then when what I do changes, I'm in a flux. Who am I? My job's taken away from me, so does my job define me? Kids have grown up and left home. Do my kids define me? But if I say, I am Nawaz, and I am an introvert, I am shy, but I like having one-on-one friendships. I am smart, I am intelligent, I am creative. That doesn't change no matter where I go. Do you agree? Okay. So, do you know that you were created by design? You are not an accident and you are not here by chance. You know, the Bible tells us that we were created even before the foundations of this world was created. It says, God knew you and planned you. If you read, there's a book called Ephesians, and in chapter 1 in the Bible, it says, you were created even before the foundations of this world was formed. When you know you are created by design, then you know that you have a purpose in life. So at the heart of good friendship, we're going to go there, is to be a good friend. And at the heart of good friendship are five components that I'm going to talk to you about. Okay, authenticity, vulnerability, trust, respect, and listening. Authenticity. We all have friends at different levels. Are all your friends the same? No. So we have close friends, we have good friends, and we have acquaintances. And then we have strangers. A wise thing to do would be not to mix them up. Would you agree? We need to know and be able to identify who is a good friend but is not a close friend. Who is a good friend but is not an acquaintance? Who is a stranger and who is not an acquaintance? We also need to know kinds of friends that we have. I'm going to give you three types of friends, and don't mix them up in life, okay? The first are your close friends, your core friends, your deep heart friends, and they are your confidants, okay? They are the ones with whom you share your deepest secrets, and you know that you will be loved and accepted. Then you have the second, which are your convenience friends, and they are the ones who are with you, as the name suggests, convenience. What is in it for me? What can I get from her? What can I get from him? And if I can't get anything more out of her, boom, they jump off the bus and find another friend. And then you have the third one, which is really dangerous, which is the conflicted friend. What does this mean? It means this person is with you and is your friend, probably because you are both against a common enemy or a common cause, okay? But when that changes, the friendship disintegrates. Or if your opinion on that changes, do you know what can happen? You can become that person's enemy. So there's a conflict there. And that is the most dangerous kind. And if you can distinguish whether your friend is a confidant, a convenience friend, or a conflicted friend, you will save yourself a lot of heartache. So what is authenticity? People show up in different ways, and we aim to be authentic. That means we aim to be genuine in who we are, how we show up, and how people experience us. There are four kinds of people, okay? That's the 100%er. That's where we all actually aim to be and aim to grow towards. What you see is what you get. There are no two faces of me. There is not a private person and a public person. There are no secrets that I'm ashamed of. I am shame-free. People know the values that I stand for, and they know where they stand in reference to me. There is no hypocrisy. Do we have friends like this? Am I a 100% person? That's a good question to ask ourselves this morning. The 75%er can be a 100%er, but sometimes, because they're not sure, it's a new environment, they're making new friends, they're sussing you out. So they don't show everything. They don't reveal their whole self to you till trust has been earned. The 50%ers walk in shadows. You never know where you stand with them. You're never really sure where you are and who they are. They blow hot and cold. One day they appear this way, the next day they appear in another way. And they most often leave you feeling confused. Have you met people like this? Yeah, I have. And then you have the 25%ers who have huge masks and walls. They do not let anyone into their heart. They can be fake and frozen, robotic when it comes to interpersonal relationships. They will not let you know how they feel, and they will be different things to different people sometimes. The reason why we show up in different ways is sometimes because of past hurts, abuse, someone has let us down really badly. Maybe it could be family and cultural norms that perpetuate distrust. If we have not experienced healthy love and affection as a child, that can also affect our bonding as adults. It affects the grid from which we understand human relationships. Have any of us experienced this? Been let down, been hurt, been betrayed? Yeah? But don't let that define who you are, okay? Because then you are still a victim of that person's bad behavior. Other people's bad behavior shouldn't define you. The next one we look at is trust. Trust, my friends, is earned. Respect is always given. Nobody needs to earn your respect, because respect is actually about who you are, how you show up to people. It is about your core values, that I will honor and respect every human being because every human being deserves respect. If they choose to behave badly, it's on them. But I will not come down to their level. Do you understand? Don't get it confused. Trust is earned. Don't give your trust away too quickly. Trust is built in small moments, says John Gotham. The opportunities to build trust and betray it is in the same moment. The moment I tell you a secret, you have an opportunity to either confirm my trust in you or betray it. Imagine, and that happens in everyday small things. When I say I'll come and meet you at coffee day, I turn up. What have I done? I've reinforced trust. But when I don't show up, what have I done? I've reinforced reasons why I shouldn't trust you. Okay? A person cannot move from acquaintance to deep heart quickly. Oftentimes you say, oh, we just hit it off. And sometimes what happens? In a day or two, you're sharing information that this person has not earned the right to hear. And oftentimes that's when trust breaks down because you don't really know this person. And you've made a blunder by sharing something that this person did not consider valuable. Good friendship says that I want to give you strength in me to help you be successful. And it helped you find the gold in you. So can you see who is the focus? The other person. In good friendship, the focus is not on what I can get, but what can I give someone? Are we people that can keep confidences? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. At the heart of every relationship is trust. When you take that away, you don't have a relationship anymore. It violates a person just like physical violence violates a person. It assassinates a person's character. It's murder undeveloped. It's like theft. It's taking something that doesn't belong to you, and then you use it for your own betterment or you use it for your own selfish interest. That is the definition of gossip. It's theft. And character assassination, whether you are talking about a fact or a fiction, it was not your business to talk about. And that's something we need to really practice, especially in our society, because when we have a problem with somebody, we don't talk to them about it, we talk to another person. Gossip is like bits of paper thrown in the wind. Can you get it all back? You can't. So you can never undo fully the damage of gossip. As a well-known philosopher Khalil Gibran says, if you reveal your secrets to the wind, you should not blame the wind for revealing them to the trees. Be careful who you reveal your deep heart secrets to. Are you with me? Good. Is this helping you? Another one that we don't like talking about is vulnerability. What is vulnerability? It's the willingness to share something that needs to be safe with you. It means I am making myself vulnerable. I am putting my heart into your hands. Will you drop it or will you hold it safe? What will you do? Will you drop it? Will you carelessly give it to other people? You know what she said? You know what she said? You know what she said? Or will you hold it sacred and say, hey, what's with that person? And I'd say, none of your business. What am I doing? Keeping it safe. Is it true about this person? None of your business. What am I doing? I am keeping what was entrusted to me safe. And I guard it with my life. That is the characteristic of a true friend. And then people can be vulnerable with you. I can fall apart and you will not judge me. Sometimes we only want to see the good side of people, but can a friend come and just Let it all out, as we say, let out the steam. Let them say whatever it is, and you won't judge them for them. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. In fact, asking for help is a sign of courage, to be able to say that I am in a weak place right now. The willingness to show up 100% with no masks, no lies. Brené Brown says, when I think less of myself for asking help, I think less of people for asking for help too. Respect. I'm just going to go through this because you can take a screenshot of it and think about it later. Respect, we have an acronym. R is resist patronizing. Okay? Don't be condescending to a friend or to somebody. Be truly respectful. Exercise self-responsibility and take care of yourself and let people take care of themselves, which means don't overextend yourself into other people's issues. Suspend critical judgment. Don't shame or jump to conclusions. You don't have all the facts sometimes. Practice love, patience, kindness, goodness. Extend yourself appropriately. Don't force yourself on a person. Okay? If a person saying, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, I don't need help, back off. Okay? Consider confidentiality. We've already spoken about that. Take one another seriously. Don't make sarcastic jokes about something that means a lot to another person. You may not think it's serious, but it is serious for that person. When we practice this, we are extending respect. Last but not the least, listen. All these things are things that we are constantly learning. Is anyone perfect on any of these? Both my hands are up. I am in a learning and growth stage. We often communicate to convince someone else about our point of view or to win a discussion. Is that listening? No. The aim of listening is to understand, to have an accurate understanding of how the other person is feeling about a situation. It is extending warmth and empathy and then reflecting back what the person is saying. So what I understand you saying is, and then the person will say, that's right. Or they'll say, no, that's not what I meant. This is what I meant. We've spoken about how to be a good friend, but sometimes we need to know what are the signs of an unhealthy friendship. And I've listed a few things down. When you see any of these things happening, know that you are in an unhealthy relationship. You are being manipulated and controlled by words or deeds. Fear is used to make you do something. They're untrustworthy. They never keep their word. They say they'll come, they don't turn up. They say they'll do something, they don't do it. Okay? Insecure about your other friends. They don't like you talking to other people. They're unloving. There's a constant ego clash. They're mean with their words. Verbal and or physical abuse. They make you feel less than. Jealous. They have agendas. They only get in touch with you when they want something. They blow hot and cold, leading you to feel confused. They're fake. You just never know who they really are. They're secretive. They hold grudges and make you pay by withdrawing affection. They stop talking to you. They don't pick up your calls. They don't answer your messages. All these are signs of an unhealthy friendship. So in conclusion, my friends, that's a lot to digest in this short time. So be careful of people who only take from you. We need balance in our lives. Do you have friends that refresh you as well? Are you one that seeks to refresh others as well? Are you a giver or a taker? When your life is out of balance, you tend to make wrong decisions. You trust the wrong people. You cross boundaries by overextending yourself in a friendship, and you allow other people to invade your boundaries. Make a list of people who truly invigorate you and to whom you too are important. If you start putting this into practice, you will develop that constant, strong core inside of you that will help you no matter where life takes you. You will be a better person and you will attract the right kinds of friends. You will become a true friend and you will gain true friends too. Thank you.
Okay, I want to share for the next couple of minutes just something. You know, all this is good. Physics homework, being in there, walking in when the whole world walks out. You know, all that is wonderful. But think about what is the biggest thing some friend could do for you? Is it putting 1 lakh into your bank account? You need the money? Or maybe, you know, doing not just your physics homework, but all your other homework as well? Yeah? Or, okay. And Samantha read this earlier on. It says this: greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Okay? You know, we can do homework. We can. All that is wonderful. Let's keep doing it. But the greatest thing you can do for somebody or somebody can do for you is to die in your place, to take a bullet or to take the blame. Wow. Now, I want to ask you a question. Would you do that for your friend? Think very carefully. Would you die for your friend? That means that person needs a heart. You're saying, okay, take my heart. Or they need two kidneys. You take my kidneys. That's a big commitment, isn't it? Yeah, think about it. That's huge. That's huge. Now, I want to tell you that what has happened is this. We have a friend who has laid down his life for us. And it says here, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the whole world is battling with one major issue. And that issue is the issue of sin. Isn't it? Don't we all sin? Yeah, we tell lies, we cross a red light, we do all kinds of things. And the whole world is trying to deal with this issue of sin and how can I get rid of that sin? And what the Bible tells us is that Jesus died for you and for me for our sins so we don't have to pay for our sins. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the good news about this is that Jesus died because he loved you as a friend. Okay, and if you believe that, your sins can be forgiven. Wow, that's the best thing anybody can do for us. Yeah? And I'll just leave that thought with you. If a friend died for me, I would want to find out why he died for me and what he did, isn't it? You know, and that